insane.
Oh, you don't like it? Okay,
I don't like it.
That you love me, I don't know if it's true. When I go to sleep, all I ever see is you. I can be your savior, everything that we've been through. I love how she dancing, got me feeling for you. You say that you love me, I don't know if it's true.
Welcome, everyone.
Welcome to the pod universe.
Welcome to the pod universe. We're here with two, fellow people from the Patreon class, aka influencers in the universe of New York, LA. How are you guys doing today besides being cold?
Pretty cold.
I'm great.
How cold are you guys right now?
Oh, like temperature wise or coolness?
Just in general, I guess, yeah.
I think I'm pretty cold.
Honestly, it's fine now. There was that one night on Friday where it was actually like painfully freezing.
Oh my God.
Wait, was that the Iron Pack party?
No, that was Saturday,
but that was also really bad.
The day before
really
was like minus 10 with wind chill.
Oh my God,
yeah,
I forgot about that.
It was really insane. This house is like the worst. Like, this is like not a real window behind us. It's a storm window. It broke when we moved in, and then this guy came to fix it, and he's like, this is crazy. This isn't a real window. I was literally like wearing my winter coat down here
just like
last weekend. Yeah, just like you.
Sick.
But it's warmer now, but you do look like a pimp, so I...
That's why I'm wearing it.
Yeah. Honestly, it's that it's just like not a full sweater, and I kind of just felt self-conscious when I got inside.
Oh, but I like it, though. So is that heaven?
The sweater is, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, I thought it was. Yeah, that makes sense. So, Kareem, you were skiing in the even colder parts of the U.S. recently, right?
Yeah.
And everyone was talking about your frozen hair. It seems like that's like a really cool thing to have nowadays is frozen hair. Like, we don't get that very often. How is Vermont, by the way?
Vermont was great. And the frozen hair was probably the highlight. I had a lot of double stuffed Oreos.
Oh, wow.
Which are fire. That's kind of a, you know, like a Vermont delicacy.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a creamy?
Did I have a creamy?
Do you know what that is?
What is that?
That's what an ice cream cone is called in Vermont.
Oh, shit.
A creamy.
I didn't have one.
Oh, she's
they're really.
She's from.
Well, I'm from Massachusetts, but my sister goes to UVM, so I have been to Burlington a lot, and their ice cream, it's like the real dairy capital of the country is Vermont, and they got the best ice cream cones, and they're called Creamy, which is a really slutty name for an ice cream cone.
I was going to say.
Is Ben and Jerry's from
Vermont?
Yeah, they are.
With Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah. So is Bernie.
I met them at a Bernie rally in 2016.
Yeah, they're really nice.
Yeah, 2015. Maybe.
They're nice guys.
I was trying to take a tour, but everything was closed.
Oh, really?
Maybe the weather.
You're back, you
the
can
cows
get a creamy
had frozen
from Ben and Jerry's.
The cows were frozen, yeah.
And then we have Adam Faze here. Adam,
hello.
How is... I saw you last weekend at the Ion Life and I's party, Ion Pack's party with Curtis. How was that party for you?
I had a great time. I think it was rare to be at like a proper house party where no one cared inside. Like, if the place was getting like torn apart, there also was no furniture, but it felt like being in high school. Honestly.
Yeah, it did.
It's very high school energy.
It felt like we're in the Midwest or something, and we're at a hardcore show.
And it makes me want to only do that kind of stuff this year. Like, I feel like I'm kind of over the venue party.
I wonder if that Ion party felt more like high school, or if the 1975 Ion party felt more like high school, because that one was probably full of actual high schoolers.
That one was full of ice.
Yeah, that was the perfect experience for people that wanted to groom high schoolers, for sure. But
full disclosure, I wasn't it either. Just see my
probably,
way out of all.
We should probably cut that part. But but no, yeah, it seemed like everyone was of age at the Ion Pack we went to.
No,
it was
like
so hard
to
get into.
It was like every corner I looked, I'm like, oh my God, wow, these are like the entirety of New York is in this brownstone and wherever it was. I actually have no idea where it was. Around here.
I think it was in Bed-Stuy.
It was very close to here, yeah.
All I remember was getting on the bridge and being like, how far away are we?
The only person
Goots
that knows
like,
where
we're 25
it was is
more
Kareem,
minutes.
Who wasn't even there.
Well, that's because my friend was describing the party.
Like, Kareem had extreme FOMO. No, he always does.
I knew about the party, and then I was in Vermont. But then my friend on Monday, who does not partake in any of this, he's like completely out, was like telling me about a party that he attended. And he's like, dude, it was so sick. It was in this mansion, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, there's no way, because he's so out of the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
You're not even in the scene, bro.
No, it's not even the scene. He's just like out of every... Like, he He's a farmer. He doesn't use Instagram. Yeah. He doesn't know who anyone is at all. Not a single person, except for Julian Casablancas, who was at the party.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Julian Casablancas. But then I put two and two together. Wow. He was at the party.
Everyone was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe that like Julian Casablancas like overlooked me at this party. Like I've been a fan of his forever." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah." Like, what am I supposed to say to that?
It was also cool. I mean, even the performance in the house. Like, again, that was very, like, Battle Curtis of the Bands, great. High school energy. Like, it was just, like, a different... I haven't been to something like that in a long time.
Who would have
won
the
Battle of the
Bands,
The song kind of gives me, like, prom.
Life. That night.
The Life.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta give it to The Life.
It was their night. Mm-hmm. You can't say anything else.
Yeah, but the song itself, like, feels like I want to dance to it at prom. Like, it's really... I love, like, the 90s vibes it has.
It kind of has a Third Eye Blind feel, which I really like, honestly. Like it has like a nostalgia to it.
The resurgence of the New York artists coming back up this year.
This might be frozen.
The Dare.
Yeah, they were so good. What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, but like so, what are other examples of like other kinds of non-venue things that you would want to do in New York, Adam?
I mean, honestly, again, I just think like I came to New York a year ago and almost immediately started throwing like venue parties.
Mm-hmm.
The one exception where I think it was like the perfect balance of both was the Jane, but obviously that closed and is now turning into a membership club. But I just feel like any other type of party that we're used to throwing, I would rather have it in like a kind of decrepit place and in a house that someone doesn't really care about versus, I don't know, I'm just like so sick of going to the same 10 spots.
I lived in like an artist residence last year while I was finishing up school in like the Clinton Hill Bed-Stuy border, like this weird like mansion that was like what's the word when they landmarked or whatever, like they can't tear it down. It's like this old haunted
historical
mansion
landmark.
Yeah. And I threw like a couple parties in that house and I like miss it so much because it was like literally that. It was like an old decrepit house full of like artists and it was the perfect place to
throw a party. I was just reading this like I don't know if it was like a Substack piece or something, but it was talking about how the best hosts are the ones who know to like step aside and not to like micromanage the party of like, oh wait, don't do that. That thing's like valuable. Like, oh, whatever. And
that's interesting.
It's like the good host knows just like whatever happens, you've already signed up for and there's nothing you should do to stop it.
Oh,
and
that's
like,
interesting.
Who's honestly, Substack it was an anti-party full thing because it was kind of just saying like, fuck the lists, like let the list get sent out, let people overrun the place. The best parties are the ones where like there's a bunch of people that are there that you didn't invite. I thought that was pretty fun.
That's so cool. Whose Substack is that?
It was in Dirt.xyz.
Oh,
like
okay.
The Dirt newsletter.
Yeah. Awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, I like their newsletter. About the party again though, this is interesting because going back to the list thing, because there wasn't there wasn't actually a list for the iImpact party, but it was like still a Titanic lifeboat situation. Where like you're not sure if you and your friends are gonna get in, and like you have to decide on like who gets in the lifeboat, aka goes into the party. And I was like with my friend Jackie and this guy named Peter Vack, and basically I was like, oh, like to Keenan, who like from his NPC who's running the door, I was like, hey, can you get these two people in? And basically everyone else in our crew like just like turned away. I was like, yeah, I know it's like -20 degrees outside and you're gonna die, just like it's the Titanic,
just, like, wait out here.
Yeah, just like wait, you'll eventually get in.
How did the door work at this party?
I mean it was
like up to this person.
Yeah, I mean it was whether or not they recognize
terrifying.
People
it's like the gates of heaven.
Terrifying.
Yeah,
that's why I don't go to parties.
And I think everyone also
fear of failure.
What'd you say?
I said that's why I don't go to parties. Fear of failure.
Do you know who I am?
I don't want to do that.
I know.
Cream's across the street.
Neither do I. That's actually why I didn't go. I didn't want to. Like, I live really close by to where that party was, and so I got there. And maybe if it was like summer, I wouldn't have minded. But I was there for like 10 minutes, and like. I was like, I can't like walk past all these people and like try to be like, hey, can I get in? Even though I probably could have.
And then they're taking pictures everyone in line.
Yeah. Then like the ION
like all these people, like,
photography guy
so
comes
cold.
Out and he's like taking pictures of people in the sub-zero weather waiting for the party. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but this is like the douchiest. This is satanic. And I was like, that's it. I'm going back home. Thank God it was
Oh, you
like,
did that?
I did. Yeah,
oh,
I left.
Good for you.
I left. Yeah.
I think that's a power move.
I have like have a limit to like
just go
like,
to Vermont like, next time.
If I like didn't have any humanity, I could probably have walked up to that door and like been like shoo peasants. No, like, I'm not gonna do it. I can't.
There's like a point in time where you're only going to parties that you're guaranteed to get into.
Yeah.
And I'm at that point for the past 6 years.
Yeah. I mean, but like, if you walked into the party, I think everyone would just like get to the side anyways. Like
that's very nice of you to say, and I need that. I need to be gassed yeah. up like that, because right now I'm like, I'm not sure if I'd get in.
Really? No, you would have definitely got in for
that's
sure.
That's nice. Maybe I'll go.
You should.
Were there any? Oh, Julia Casablancas is a nepo baby. Were there any?
Wait,
prominent
is he
nepo
actually
baby?
A nepo baby?
He is. Yeah. But people forget because he's actually...
Wait, who's...
You get
like
a pass at being a nepo baby.
His dad is John Casablancas of Casablancas Modeling. Because Julian Casablancas' sure. dad is the modeling agency magnate. Yeah. And then Julian is the nepo baby. But I don't think there's anyone else involved in the family.
Yeah, but we'll Julian like gets a pass because he's one of like the more talented nepo babies. I think like there is a certain threshold for talent where it's like, yeah, we'll let you pass because you're either talented enough or hot enough that you just get the pass. And he's one of them.
Yeah, the whole band's hot.
They slap. Yeah.
My thing with the nepo baby thing has always just been like, I think honestly, culture is totally fine with you as long as you just accept it. I think it's when they like start fighting it, being like, oh, like no, but you don't understand. Like I auditioned for my dad's movie, and it's like. It's totally fine that you're in your dad's movie. No one's actually trying to cancel you for that. Yeah. Is that you're trying to defend it. You
well,
know?
I saw a TikTok that was like, wow, people, it was like, wow, nepo babies in the States are so weird. And it was a clip of the Skarsgård family, who are not from the U.S. And it was Alexander Skarsgård being like, yeah, man, like, honestly, I wouldn't be here without my dad. He's the one that made our entire Skarsgård family. I mean, there's three sons. They're all actors. The dad's an actor. And he was just very, like,
wait,
I wouldn't be.
Wait, who is that? Because I really don't know.
Alexander Skarsgård is the, he's in so many things. He's
Big
in
Little Lies. He was in Succession.
The Northman. He's like, what
his
else
brother
is he
was it, Pennywise. Right.
His brother's okay. it. That's Bill Skarsgård. Alexander Skarsgård, what's his biggest role, though?
True Blood.
He's the vampire.
True Blood.
Yeah.
But he's just like, yes. And it's okay in Europe.
And by the way, like, I think
they're not hiding.
All of us are fans of all these, all of their parents. And so it's like, there is a part of it that's like, wow, this is amazing. There's like generations of them doing it. It's just like, don't be the snarky asshole who's like not trying to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
Like if I
listen,
would just,
I work yeah, so good. Hard. That's yeah. when it
it's
becomes
like everyone
a problem.
Works hard. Like everyone wants yeah. it just as bad as you do. Everyone's trying just yeah. as hard as you hard. You draw it's, want just like just yeah. own it.
Honest. Just be just honest.
No
I
one
mean,
cares.
Yeah, they're trying to get like press like to explain like why it's okay. Mm-hmm. And then that's just cringe. Yeah. I mean,
by the way, what was worse, being in the Nepo Baby article or not being included in the Nepo Baby article?
I mean, obviously not being included.
So.
That's
really?
Sad.
Oh. Big. That's
see,
awful.
I have some people that come okay. to mind that were not included.
Oh,
and I'm
like
I bet you're so happy.
No, I think they're really
oh,
upset. They called their publicist that day
really,
being
really
like,
powerful.
How dare you?
No, because they are Nepo Babies, but like they were spared because they're cool enough to like
oh.
not be in. Like somebody spared them.
Oh.
But I feel like most of them were spared because they're just not as relevant.
Because they're feared, though, maybe
know.
Even. Because there's a certain amount of fear that might be associated with like somebody that's like so powerful. You're like, I can't write this article. Because this is the relationship with journalism and reality is that like, yeah, we're going to do a hit piece on a certain person. But like we have to also recognize that like if we do a hit piece on the wrong person, it might end our career. So.
Well, I saw one that had the Nepo baby, but it was there were siblings involved. But they didn't include one of the siblings.
Wow. Oh,
is
weird.
Also an entertainer, but that sibling was not
that
in the article.
Was fired the next
and
day.
I was very much so like, whoa,
that's sad.
Because but that sibling that wasn't included is very cool. Really
like,
around.
Was this like the Heim sisters or something?
Is it the Heims?
No,
God.
I don't.
Want
to it's.
You don't have to take one for the team. On
I'm not.
One.
I like
give
yeah,
us
like,
a neoliberal
I like,
exclusive.
I like this one too much. I like this person too much.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there
well,
is.
Well, listen, there are good nepo babies,
and you're sparing
there's
them.
Amazing nepo babies.
Okay. They. But my thing is like, there's like no like, it, just like everything.
Jesus was a nepo baby.
Jesus was a nepo
baby.
Was
the first nepo baby. First of all, yeah. But there, there's just like no nuance, in like, the levels of like privilege or whatever, like. I'm just going to rant about it because I'm a big fan of Phoebe Bridgers, but they like included her in the article and like put her next to some kid whose dad is like the like
head of the studio.
Head of the studio.
Her dad's
and
a good set designer.
Yeah, her dad worked on sets. And I'm
her
like,
dad was just like a working class member of society.
He literally was like a drug addict who worked on movie sets, and they're like, nepo baby right next to like some like kid who's like dad like runs a major
that's
studio.
That's abysmal.
And it's just like journalists this is nowadays. Not the same.
I noticed some of those. I was like, that's not the same. That's like Aziz and Harvey.
Yeah,
Aziz and Harvey.
Oh wait, what's
I'm
the connection?
Like a different parallel that's
oh, I don't know the connection.
There's a huge parallel to a different area. Universe. I don't know if we want to go into.
Oh yeah, do you
I pretended
explain?
Like I knew what that was, but I didn't.
Aziz Ansari, is that who you're talking about? Yeah. Is he
oh the Me Too stuff?
Is he a nepo baby? Or?
Is that yeah? I was gonna make that analogy, but I didn't want to bring it there to spare you guys, honestly, from having the conversation. But
Anna's
yeah, it
is go
just like,
about
it's like
here we go. Let's go.
No, I'll say it. I'm
gonna,
the woman. I can say it.
You're gonna go on a tirade about cancel culture? Did you just see Tar or something?
Cancel culture? Well, no. It's just like why are we gonna pretend that like being a little weird and like taking an L on a date where a woman's uncomfortable is the same as like. I don't know, violently raping a bunch of women is not the same thing. And that's the analogy I was going to make. And Matthew's left the room.
Oh, we're saying it is the same thing.
It's exact. It's a, well, that's what the.
Oh, the analogy.
Then well.
It's just like we went into like a dark area. We were talking about like nepo babies and it was like all
no,
fun.
I'm saying, like,
we went into
like,
sexual assault, you know?
It's my fault.
Like Phoebe Bridger's dad being working on a set is like.
It's the same as Harvey Weinstein being in jail.
It's
for
like
rape.
Aziz Ansari making a woman feel kind of uncomfortable, whereas like this kid's dad is literally Harvey Weinstein, who's like, you know, a rapist.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the analogy
the rape
I was
nepo.
Making.
I think it was by design.
It's just.
Very late, but I'll move it.
Thank you. It was applause. Yeah, it was booze.
Louis CK sold out MSG.
Yeah, which is also proof that cancel culture isn't real
at all.
At all.
By the way, Morgan Wallen sold out tour every single state.
Well,
go
I
away
feel
for
like, no,
five
like,
seconds, and Anna's already saying cancel culture.
I feel like just like everything else, cancel culture only affects the poor.
Oh,
yeah,
I
probably.
Mean,
like,
I mean,
like,
historically,
yeah, Morgan Wallen's still selling things out, and Louis C.K. is still selling some things out. But I'm sure a lot of people who are not like at the Louis C.K. or Morgan Wallen level.
But I also think it's
did get canceled.
The,
and had
the
to move
only
to, yeah.
people that truly get canceled
London.
Are the ones who are canceled by their own fans. And it's like obviously Morgan Wallen's fans were not canceling him.
True.
And I think that's the core to any of this. Is like the end of the day, a lot of these hit pieces for certain people, these people's fans do not give a single fuck.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the idea of cancel culture historically, I mean, cancel culture is...
Jesus was the first nepo baby and the first victim of cancel culture.
I mean, like, cancel culture is just basically, so. Like, who has power? Who are we going to cancel? And in the modern era, it's about punching up. And it's like, so people like Harvey Weinstein can be held accountable. And we can have conversations. I've been watching Cheers lately, and there's, like, conversations about... like basically molestation and like sexual assault that they couldn't have had in that era of Cheers, right? That we can have now. So like there's good things about it and obviously there's toxic things about it too. And Anna will tell you all about those. She loves. But basically the historical relationship to cancellation is that like cancellation always started with like the most oppressed people. How do we, I mean, what is your take on this?
Well, I was just saying on the Harvey side of things, I mean, I think it's honestly incredibly similar because it's like, he only finally got canceled when he did because he lost power, you know?
Oh.
Everyone knew what he was doing for the entirety of the time he's been in power, but he wasn't in the Miramax era of, like, controlling a $1 billion box office and winning Oscars. The Weinstein Company was a shitty indie company at this point whose movies were flops. So it's like, yeah, of course, now we can
That's
get him out
so
of power because he's a loser. But before that, like, good luck, you know? Like, you're going to say something and you're going to get kicked out of the industry.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So like cancel
like my
culture.
Boy, Brendan Fraser.
What happened to Brendan Fraser? Oh,
Brendan Fraser was assaulted.
He was
the head of HFPA,
and he said something about it, and then he was blacklisted, and then he didn't make another.
Like
didn't
you
want to
know why he didn't win
years.
A Golden Globe or was nominated because he was actually assaulted by the head of the HFPA.
Harvey Weinstein.
No, like the Golden Globes
who,
Association,
a different
Hollywood
one.
Foreign who, Press Association.
They grabbed Brendan Fraser's butt, and then Brendan Fraser said something about it. And then he was
what
like
era was
for
this?
One
this was like Fraser 3 years ago. No, it's like it was pretty recent.
No. Really? I think it came out recently, but I think it happened like years ago, which is why Brendan Fraser disappeared for so long.
Oh, interesting.
I also think. I mean, this is not a cancel culture thing, but on the Brendan Fraser note, I've been talking about the Hollywood works in very kind of sick and twisted ways, but one of which is if you're an actor and one of your movies flops or a few movies flopped, you're the one who's blamed for the movie flopping mm-hmm. and not the fact that it's an awful movie or the marketing was bad, whatever. And now that Brendan Fraser is in a good movie and Darren Aronofsky decided to put him in this film and he's getting critical acclaim, you know, whether or not he wins the Oscar, he's going to probably present an
award.
And
what film was this, by the way?
He's in The Whale this year.
Oh, okay.
And front runner for best actor, but even if he doesn't win, he's most likely going to present an award at the Oscars. And he's going to come out, and he's going to walk on stage, and everyone at the Academy Awards is going to stand up and give him a standing ovation. And it's like, these are the same people that 3 years ago wouldn't have returned his call because he wasn't in the culture, he wasn't in the scene, he wasn't in these amazing movies that he is in now. But now it's critically acclaimed Brendan Fraser. Now we have to give him a standing ovation. And it's like, it sucks because this is just the way that it's worked for the last 150 years. And it's really hard to hold on to that high level of fame that most of these actors hit.
If it's a chessboard, they're like the pawns.
Exactly.
At most the bishop or the knight or something like that, right? So
easiest to blame when a movie doesn't do well.
And that's so interesting.
Rarely ever their
fault. Well, you come from the production side, right?
Right.
You should start canceling people for having bad performances, really. I
think that's they've been doing it, and that's the thing. They've been doing that for years.
Like who should we cancel?
Hmm.
That lady in Tar. What's that lady's name?
Wait, yeah, bringing up Tar is like obviously like the most divisive thing we could bring up, right?
It's perfect.
Because everyone's like, oh, I hate it. I love it. Like there's no side. Like, you can't win with bringing up Tar, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have a take on Tar?
Oh, I didn't like it.
Okay.
I haven't seen it. So
I thought it was,
why didn't either. You like it?
I thought it was so just awful. It was mm-hmm. boring. It was slow.
It was
the
so
pacing
boring.
Sucked. And I was actually upset that Tar is not a real person.
Oh, it's not actually a real.
No,
it's not based on a real person.
It's a
person.
Fictional character.
Oh, interesting.
And I was upset.
I thought it was a documentary.
I thought it was at least based on a person.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't a documentary. Okay, interesting. I feel embarrassed now, obviously.
Wait, did you watch it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. We can change the subject now, obviously.
Did you like it?
I thought it was a real film, you know. I thought it was real, you know. I'm sorry, I'm playing this way too hard. I feel like Anna needs to see this film because Anna's gonna love this film.
I want to see it.
Wait, do you like it? You like it?
No, actually, okay. I didn't. No, I thought it was boring.
And I didn't like it. And you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. But I don't.
We'll
I'll say I don't like it. I'll say that now.
That's good.
I probably won't.
Anti-Tar gang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Solidarity.
I mean, most people hated it. I think, though. Yeah. But yeah.
Adam likes it.
I haven't seen it. I'm just like, Cate Blanchett, right? It's Cate Blanchett.
Well, I don't know.
Right? I feel like it's a.
She sunk into the role so hard.
Okay, thank you. I'm like, I would love to work with her. Like, she's amazing.
I didn't know who it was.
I mean, but obviously Tar gets into this topic that we're all kind of entrenched in now. We're talking about like cancellation and that kind of thing. And this brought up in the film, you know, she's bringing up like how this. And you've probably seen the film. So like she's bringing up that this one person who's like a pansexual BIPOC person and like how because of their identity, they shouldn't like this person because was it Mozart or Bach? I don't remember who it was.
I think it was Bach. I saw the clip on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah, like I'm a BIPOC pansexual and like Mozart had like molested somebody or something, so I could never get behind this music. Which is like a really, I mean, like that's the only thing you need to see from the film. Yeah. In my opinion, that's my take on the film. Kareem, is that a good take or no?
I don't know. I kind of like the movie
now. You like it?
Now I kind of like it, actually. Now I'm kind of in.
Are you a pansexual BIPOC person?
No. Now I just kind of like the movie. I just remember that scene. I was like, yeah. It really makes you think. That's where I'm at right now. I'm like, oh,
I feel
really,
like,
maybe it is good.
I feel like
maybe
Kareem,
I'm missing something.
That frozen cider sitting.
No, I feel like, Kareem, you represent like a whole other. I feel like you represent this like outside world to this kind of like entrenched conversation with Keep the Meter Running. I feel like it's so positive and it gives us hope. For humanity, it's almost like a Marianne Williamson type conversation where it's like you can just like go out into a taxi and like tell the taxi driver, like, just bring me anywhere. Like, I know it's a show, but
Check your male privilege, though. Because if I did that, I'm sure they'd bring me to like a warehouse and ship me off.
They're like, oh, hey, you want to go to a hotel?
male privilege is absolutely checked.
They're gonna bring her. They're gonna bring it to the latest Epstein Island. That's not sponsored by
Social
Epstein.
Experiment. Keep the meter running.
I tell this Russian guy to bring me anywhere, and he brings me to like a warehouse, and then all of a sudden I'm like,
she's sex trafficked.
I'm on the Ukraine.
She's at the bottom
border.
Of a basement of a pizza restaurant.
The funniest story to probably tell about that, by the way, is probably the first episode where the guy was like, "Are they Muslim?"
Well, there's also the brown privilege that I do have in this show in particular.
It works to my advantage. Why?
Because
of taxis.
Because everyone is like,
they trust him.
Some shade of brown.
Yeah.
And in the first episode, it was really funny. We had no idea if it was going to work. Like, it was like, well, let's go do it. You know, it was like me, Adamar, and Damien.
It was like 10 tries in. We still have just been rejected by every driver. Just think we're crazy.
And wait, 10 tries in?
Yeah, because they say no. Because they're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. They're like, I have to work.
They think we're like going to try to assault them. And like, we have cameras to film
like,
it.
Please,
you know?
I need to keep my medallion.
Yeah, a lot of them are like very scared.
They think that you're like trying to get them like fired or something.
I don't know. I'm just like, listen, I'm going to pay you. It's going to be really fun. I'm harmless. Like, I'm brown. And a man. Yeah.
So when you ask, like, where are you from? It's not like when my dad does that in the cab and he's like this old white guy who's like.
I would have voted for
Obama. My grandfather was actually a cab driver. my dad's dad. So.
Well, the brown
that's
privilege
why
was.
He has the pass, I guess, to ask where they're from.
He's generational.
Yeah.
He gets the pass.
He's the taxi Nepo baby.
He's the taxi Nepo baby.
So this guy, like, looks at me and he goes, are you Muslim? I go, yeah, which I am. And then he's like, what about those guys? And he goes like that. And I look behind me and it's Adam and Ari standing there. And I'm like, I look at him, I go.
I at least, by the way, in Persian, yeah. Ari is just like full white, like as white as you could possibly be.
I just go, yeah, they are. And then he was like, even that one about like Ari. And Ari was like,
the first 10 tries, it didn't really work. And then on the 11th try, you get somebody that's down, right? What was it like? I mean, it's a wild thing to be like, hey, can you just take me anywhere? For people that are listening and don't know what... that really didn't work, Ryan. That really didn't work. Okay, it worked now. So for people listening, Kareem has this show where he walks up to a taxi and he's like, hi, I would love for you to take me to your favorite place, right? What do you say exactly when you're talking to these people?
I said, take me to your favorite place and keep the meter running.
Beautiful.
That's the line. But before that, there's a whole conversation, which is like, hey, I'm going to ask you to take me to your favorite place. And you're going to keep the meter running.
Don't spill the secrets
of
our sauce.
You're ruining the facade.
Keep the magic
up. I mean, obviously, there's already two cameras in the car.
No one.
All of these drivers are paid hired actors.
No, it is all. That's let's not go too far. Yeah, but no, that is like I'm gonna pay you. You're gonna keep the meter running. Yeah. You're gonna take me to your favorite place, and then I say those things, and then that's. What
but other
do.
Than that, it's completely real, and no, we have no idea where they're gonna take
there's
us.
There's no other than that. I mean, that is what
that's like, the only
what
part.
What you're doing
that's
is
like,
you're asking for consent.
Yes, there's consent, and then it's a complete.
I'm just like, where do you want to go? Like, where do you want to go? We can do anything. I mean, the weirdest thing. I guess it's not that weird, but. It's like, we can do anything. Like, I'm literally explaining, like, we can go anywhere. We can do anything, whatever you want. We can go suit shopping. Like, we can go, like, learn drums.
It's literally just a food show.
They always want to eat. They always want to have lunch, you know? Cause and then they're like, where do you want to go? I'm like, no, you don't understand. I don't care. I want to go where you want
to
go.
And well, they took you to religious places, though, too,
kind of unwiring this thing. I bet it's hard to be, like to be used to being, like, hey, take me to XYZ, and then somebody's like, hey, you can pick, and then their mind is just like blank. Because if somebody did that to me, I'd be like, I have no idea. I'd be like,
what do you
want to
eat tonight, babe? It's like I don't
know. Well, someone like saying like, what's your favorite restaurant? Like, it is a hard like suddenly I don't know a single restaurant anywhere in the world.
I imagine if I was doing it, they'd be like, take me to your favorite place. I'd be like, Blank Street Coffee on North 6th in Bedford.
Wait, have you thought about doing this with Ubers? Because if you think about
with Ubers.
Yeah, with Ubers.
Oh, I'm anti Uber.
Well, it could be Lyft too. But like the idea.
They're just pitching you their pyramid scheme.
Yeah, they're like.
By the way, this isn't my real job. I actually run a mid-level marketing company.
Have you heard about Amway and Bitcoin? Yeah, but like with like, it's interesting though, because like with taxis, you're saying it's like mostly brown people. So it's like almost like an ethnography of like the different type of people would, that would be in a taxi. So it's like, in a way,
well, Ubers are also mostly brown people, Uber drivers.
I don't know. Actually, Uber.
They are.
Are they?
Except for LA.
Yeah, I was going to say, LA is a different.
Where it's like,
LA, they're like, by the way, this is a true story. Musicians. One time I was in an Uber, and this guy gave me his resume, which would be one thing, but the resume was laminated.
Was it paper? Oh,
no, it was
paper.
Laminated.
That's amazing.
And I'm like going to a restaurant. I'm like, where do you think I'm going to put this thing? So I was like, let me take a photo of it, and then like,
well, no, that's
I'll
what
keep in touch. And I just like turn my flashlight on.
No,
and
I think
off.
That's what it's for. He gave it to you to look at, and then you.
No, no, no. He
it.
Wanted me to take it. He's like, you're sure you don't want to take it? I'm like, where do I put this, bro? Like in my like waistband? Like, what is this for?
That's so tight.
But I will brag about Cream for a second. I mean, like, the show has 70 million views around the world at this point, and we went to London.
70 million views.
70 million views.
It's in a London cab.
And we went to London for, like, the season finale to go to a black cab. And we ended up in an English pub to watch the World Cup game with the driver. And we had kids coming up to us in the pub being like, this is my favorite show on the internet. And at that point, we had spent $4,000 on the show. And I'm like, this is unlike anything I've ever seen in my entire life.
Wow.
That was tight. That, gang that's, shit.
That's amazing.
Get the applause of that.
Well, it's like, I feel like the first of all, it would never work in an Uber because there's something so like touching and nostalgic about a taxi cab. And
yeah. Especially anywhere around the world. Like a were taxi like, is like distinct.
Were you like inspired by like Cash Cab?
I've never seen Cash Cab. What is Cash Cab? Personal
tell the story.
Cash Cab is like a show that I remember seeing it in my childhood on TV. Like one of those things that I'd wake up in the middle of the night and it would like
the
be
cab where we pay you.
And it's just like it's like a guy who's like not Howie Mandel, but he might as well be because he's just like a bald white guy. And he like,
yeah.
He like asks, but it's like, it's very impersonal. Cause it's just like,
Howie
it's like
Mandel
trivia,
too,
but then
the
you like,
pay,
you get. Or no, yeah.
They pay you.
Someone gets in the cab.
Yeah, someone gets in the cab and they're like, we're going to pay you. We'll take
he's
you to where you
driver.
Need to go.
Yeah.
But we'll pay you and we're going to ask you like trivia pursuit questions.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
like, honestly, can you just take me where I want to go? Yeah. Like, shut the fuck up.
Like,
how
I
do you think
know.
They do that show? You think they get consent for that show before you get in? They're like,
the
do you
want to
be on Cash Cab?
What? But like everyone was like, Cash Cab? Like, they all knew the show. But also,
yeah.
It was like a different era. It was like, we watched TV. Yeah.
No,
but
also,
like,
also
how
actors.
Many takes?
It's like you're epileptic and all the lights go off. And yeah. You like, you know.
But it goes back to the takes thing,
for sure.
Though. Like, it probably took like 40 takes to get the one person that actually knew the show and like would consent to it.
Right.
With you, it's like, it's not like, I mean, these kids are into it, but like, you're still experimenting with reality. It's like, are these people going to be okay with this? Are they going to take me to a dungeon and whip me? Like, you never know what's going to happen.
And by the way, like, there are, you know, history of assault of taxi drivers in the last few years in New York. So I think that was also part of like the fear.
I mean, have you seen Spree? Like, yeah, there's that side too. Do you know the movie Spree?
Yeah. I just worked with Jeffrey Leitz Cohen, who's the DP. Shout out to him.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah. I mean... That would be sick though if there was like a Spree episode. You should collab with Eugene.
We're
viral marketing.
I get so many targeted Instagram ads. I get so many targeted Instagram ads about being assaulted in a rideshare app.
Yeah, I got those too.
Which is thank God not something that
is
happening.
It's like a first class law. Like
it's like, have you been assaulted in a Lyft?
You might be entitled
or Uber.
To
you
fees
might,
or something.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, were we talking about Citizen the other day? Was that me? Yeah.
No.
Do you know Citizen app?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was at the part. He was at the IMPAC party. The CEO.
I was at the party that you didn't get into, Cream.
The Citizen CEO was at the party the other
was
day.
Was it?
Yeah, he really was.
Wait, why?
Ask Curtis. I don't know, bro. So,
no. Wait.
No, this is real.
Was he really there?
Yeah.
I'm very gullible.
No, no.
Like, I actually believe this right now.
No, and I'm not fucking with you. He was actually there, yeah. I don't know why, but yeah, he was there.
And you could tell, like, you know who he is?
Well, I mean, it's on his profile. I don't know if his...
His name is actually Mr. Citizen.
This is so wild.
Yeah, anyways. Well, what were you saying with Citizen, though?
I believe his plan is to like do like private security for everyone. It's
you
like you look at this app.
Why are we in Vermont? You could have asked him.
I know.
So he actually now is a consultant for Citizen. This is part of the viral marketing campaign.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, guys, I'm in this cab. And the only thing that protects me is Citizen. Yeah. You know, I may not look like Anna neoliberal hell, but I sure feel like her.
Citizen's actually dark because it's like, it's the effect that local news used to have on people, which is my like grandma would watch local news and be like, shooting, rape, sexual assault, murder, earthquake. It's like you're dying. Like the world is ending. And then obviously we don't watch local news the same way anymore, but Citizen, you just constantly get these notifications of like, man stabbed, man pissing around the corner, like woman strangled. And it's like, what is happening?
Well, they're trying to upsell you on the protection services. Yeah.
No, it's true.
Now it's like very Black Mirror. It's like $120 a month, and it like will track you, and also you like press one. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think
no, for real.
He's
going to
send out like little guys.
Privatized,
like, tiny little guys.
Police.
They're gonna, yeah. They're gonna like work. They're probably gonna like combine with like Ring or something, right? And then they're gonna like have some kind of service where like Ring will like send out a private security guard for you or something like that. Citizen Ring Edition or something. Like it's something like that. But if you think about the history of these, like, of all this fear around people, you know, assaulting other people and that kind of thing, this is the reason. This is the slight political tirade for the episode. That we have basically consolidated all of the state and have basically only grown the police force in the United States, and basically every other social program in the United States has been shrunk. And that's what neoliberalism is. Anyways, moving on.
And that's why there's 15 fucking cops at every single yes. New York metro station.
And that's why, like, kids are like, oh, will I have will my school pay for my food this week or not? And in some cases, some schools will. Some schools have gone bankrupt.
The MTA should be free.
Yeah, the MTA should be free, right? What else should be free in New York?
School lunch.
Is it free? School lunch?
It depends on the state, but yeah.
But is in New York, is it free?
Oh,
I assume it's free in New York.
I don't think so.
Oh, it's not?
I don't think so.
It was in Illinois.
It's pretty criminal that we charge.
Where I went to school. Where I went to school. For poor kids. For poor kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It should be free for all.
Oh, for everyone? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it should be better.
Yeah.
It should be better.
It's like
prison
chicken
food,
nuggets.
You
know? No, it's
prison food should be better.
Prison food should be better.
Everything should be better. Parking? Free parking? Give me the free parking.
Free parking.
Free parking.
Yeah, that's what I'm fighting
Cream,
for.
Are you going to run for president?
No, just city council.
My big thing is private regulating airlines again. I think that's one of the big crimes of modern culture.
Like the pricing? Or?
Yeah, of course. Because it's like, it used to be that if United Airlines did kill someone on a plane, which obviously they have in the past, you would just be like, oh, I'll never fly United Airlines again, because every domestic business class, first class coach ticket is the same on every airline. But now I'm just going to go on kayak.com and book the cheapest flight. So it's like, yeah, they can murder like half the people on the plane, but like, guess what? It's $97 to go to LA. I'm going to take that flight.
That's pretty much my experience of booking to LA for this week, for sure. Yeah.
I feel like I'm placing bets every time I book a flight because of like the way that they like, you know, they go up and down like the fucking stock market, the flight prices. Yeah. Like,
that's
I literally
crazy.
I was like
stock
in tears around Christmas time, like trying to book my flight because like it kept going up and down. And I was like,
yeah, it's
can
crazy.
I go home?
It should be the same price all year round. First class, business class, coach, every airline.
It's like the most unstable industry,
yes.
too. Like any of those airlines can go under like at any moment, too. It's insane.
And they have an increased pay for the pilots, which is why they're constantly on strike. They're overworking the pilots because we have a shortage of them.
Oh, really?
I'm big on airlines. It's a big thing for me.
My mom was right. I should have been a pilot.
Did your mom actually say that?
I feel like my mom wanted me to be a pilot or a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer or literally anything other than a guy sitting in a coat in Bed-Stuy in a hot fucking apartment.
On the neoliberal podcast.
Literally any other option.
Wait, do you actually want to run for city council though?
No.
Oh, okay.
I thought about in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing
it,
in as a bit. No, I'm not gonna. I'm not.
What's the guy that like wears like the boot on his head? It would be like that. Right?
That's too much.
No, no. He's done it. He's run for president every single year.
Yeah, but it's that guy. Yeah, yeah.
What's his name?
I don't know.
There's the Rent Is Too Damn High.
It's a great name too. It's a great name.
You know the Rent Is Too Damn High guy?
Wait, is that the same?
No. It's a different guy, but same universe.
He wants a pony.
Characters.
He wants a pony for everyone.
It's like the Avengers cinematic universe.
I like the Rent Is Too Damn High.
The rent is
Vermin Supreme. Vermin Supreme.
The guy Vermin Supreme. The Rent Is Too Damn High guy, because he's got a clear he actually sounds like Bernie Sanders, except with one sentence, which also sounds like Bernie Sanders.
The rent is too damn high.
But, no, I'm saying like he has one point, which is the rent is too damn high.
It's okay. So true, though.
And that is the party's called the Rent Is Too Damn High Party. And I'm like, he makes a good...
Oh,
you're like,
God.
Oh, he's right. Like, a lot of people would be like, wow, this is viral. But he's also fucking right. So I feel like I would do something like that.
I mean, he'd probably get more done than Joe Biden did, which I think he only like killed a Chinese spy balloon. I think that's all he did.
Someone asked me today if it was true that the Chinese spy balloon had bombs on it. I was like,
no,
it's definitely not true. They're like, well, people are saying that. I was like, what people?
It was
like TikTok.
Chinese fireworks.
It's like, don't think that's people.
It had that little guy from Up. Yeah. I was like, Joe Biden, what the fuck did you do? You just killed our one little guy.
I mean, I'm glad he accomplished something now, right before we like go into election season, so we could like feel good about his whole campaign.
But well, what if the balloon falls into the ocean and then like sea turtles choke on the parts?
Are we feeling that this is maybe all choreographed?
What, the balloon?
Yeah. Oh. Let Biden have a little win.
It definitely did not help him. So I don't think it would be coordinated. The only coordination was actually that our Secretary of State was supposed to go to China this week and meet with President Xi.
Oh, really?
And that was, it was definitely some sort of, you know, attempt to stop that from happening.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. No, but I feel like shooting it down.
Yeah, it's, but like
it's the equivalent
the
of going
conservative
to
media is very much like this would never have happened under Trump. So it was if that was the case, it was a huge failure.
But they didn't know until the
Biden administration.
The balloon wouldn't have flown under
Trump.
It
wouldn't have never.
I'm repeating what Tucker is saying. I'm just saying it was definitely not a win.
I don't know. I'm voting for him again. after that thing got shot down, dude, I feel safe.
I feel so
citizen. The balloon just said download citizen. This wouldn't happen if we all had citizen.
Oh my God. Yeah. The balloon felt like the ghost of Biden leaving his body, honestly. But yeah. Yeah. I mean, you guys are feeling safe. I'm glad you guys are feeling safe. Are you feeling safe, Anna? We have citizen. We have the balloon shut.
We have the window that's not real. I don't know if that was on the podcast or not.
All of the fake things. Yeah, I feel like it was a fake spy balloon. I feel like it's bullshit.
Well, also what I read is that they have much better imagery of us from satellites. So it's not even effective. It really was more to just kind of test what we would do with it. But like the most high tech technology there is in space. So it's really pointless.
It's literally a fucking piece of cloth. It looks like it blew away from somebody's birthday party. There's nothing in the balloon.
I think it's more to see what do we do when it's in our
I know, and you know what we did? Threw a bunch of fucking shoes and beer bottle, like Bud Light cans at it. It's literally like...
One of the militias took it down.
Haley Lou Chan took it down. You know, like the shotgun
It was too woke.
Games,
we had to shoot it down.
Darts at balloons or whatever at the carnival.
Wait, what is that?
You know, like
yeah.
I heard of it.
Yeah, it was a Haley Lujan.
Great psyop from Haley Lujan.
She
put on a little slutty clown costume, and she threw darts at the Chinese balloon.
She's never coming on the pod now.
Imagine if it was like marketing for the new Fast and the Furious movie, and like the Rock just fucking they like blasted him off into like a little rocket, like shaped like a
Acura Integra. Wait.
Did anyone watch the Grammys on Sunday?
No. But I heard Grimes complaining about it.
It was so bad. It
was
awful.
Bad? What is your take on the Grammys?
I mean, I just think it's like you watch any of these shows and you watch them with the hope that like there's no way that like television is this bad. But then you watch and you're like, oh, it's worse than you ever could have imagined. There were three segments that totaled 30 minutes long of this scripted focus group about like why this certain artist should win Best Artist of the Year. And there's all these like fans of the artist. And this one person was like, yeah, my house burned down, but I love ABBA. And ABBA's like the reason. I'm like, are you okay, dude? Like, what's happening? And it was 30 minutes long in total. And then the Academy president comes on and they do this like whole bit about like, what else could music fix? And it literally, I shit you not, shows like a musician like hugging a cop and is like, wow, it ended police brutality. And then it's like music prescriptions cure disease. I was like, what is happening right now? Who thought this was a good idea?
Oh my God. That's
Kendall
how
Jenner releases.
No, it was literally like a shot for shot remake of that video. Yeah. And it was 4.5 hours long, the entire ceremony.
We will solve the climate crisis. Greta Thunberg, hyperpop artist era.
It feels like, do you guys know what schizo posting is? It feels like the Academy is doing schizo posting for us.
I wish we would see like the Grammys like core talk version. I don't know if you guys know core talk.
Like core, on TikTok, the Twitter thing.
Or I know it's a TikTok thing. But like when it's like really depressing, just like noise and every young person depressed about.
Do you know the
world.
core? It's like we're all like, you add core to everything and then eventually just like you're like, oh yeah, I'm like Lujan pilled. I'm Lujan core.
Oh well core? No, it's like these videos on TikTok. It's like you hear someone being like, I want to kill myself, and then it cuts to like a video of like the Twin Towers going down, and then it cuts to like a speech from a president being like, this is the hardest time we've ever lived through. It's just like,
oh, is core
it's,
also
it's kind of like a movement of like Gen Z, just like what we consume in the background,
because there was a Twitter joke about core also.
It's really scary.
What is like the like whole thing about like And there's like different videos edited, and it's like Subway Surfers on one screen.
Yeah,
and
it's the ADD pill.
But that is
wait,
that
what
like
is that?
So it's like there's a TikTok, and then it's like once it'll be like split screen, whatever, like three videos.
It's like we know you can't watch this speech from an important
like
person, so.
Soap, and then it's like
we're gonna add a is it cake playing. Video on top.
Yeah, yeah, and then another screen is just like someone playing Subway Surfers, and then it's like some kid like. I don't know, gaming or something. Or
oh,
like,
interesting.
And then there's like weird, you know, like audio explaining.
By the way, I will say, like, honestly, watching the ads of the Grammys, I think people give TikTok way too much shit for it being like the ADHD generation. Like, the ads that I was seeing on CBS were way more ADHD than anything I've ever seen on TikTok.
Do you remember
well,
any
like,
of them?
Television is reflecting.
They were just like, it was like a Pfizer ad or it was like an ad for whatever, but it just was like, just, I felt like I was living in Black Mirror. It just didn't feel like reality.
But it's also kind of like generational, there's like a generational split happening as yeah. well, right? Because like TV, like I don't watch TV. Like I don't even watch the Grammys. Like most people younger than me probably don't either. Like they hear about it through like Twitter and stuff, you know? It's like,
I mean, it's the like, Grammys were watched by 12 million people, which is first uh-huh. of all, 30% less than pre-COVID Grammys.
But
and
your show
if you think
has
about 12
that,
million,
right?
like, yeah, we've gotten
like how
significantly
many,
more
million?
Individual viewers.
So your show has more viewers than the Grammys.
And we've spent yeah. $8,000 on it.
The Grammys is very irrelevant.
But here's the other funny thing is people actually always say like the Academy Awards for film should nominate more popular movies uh-huh. because that'll get more people to watch. The irony is the Grammys is actually like the most popular awarded, you know, category. It's like they go after the biggest albums of the year.
Right.
And yet the Grammys actually has a significantly lower audience than the Academy. That being said, both are like crashing every single year.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. Did you guys see the interaction between Charlie XCX and Grimes?
No.
I saw it.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say about that? Or do you?
Well, Charlie XCX basically was posting about how Crash should have been nominated for
right.
a Grammy. And then Grimes was like, don't sweat it. Like I was like sort of on the board or whatever. And I was one of the only people that was like one of two people that was under 40 years old. And I suggested like mm-hmm. nominating Sophie for something. And they were like, no, no, no.
That's not
and
even an option.
Just, yeah.
I mean, let's not forget that this year at Song of the Year, it was like Lizzo, mm-hmm. Beyonce, Sam Smith. It's like every artist you ever heard of. And then Bonnie Raitt, who I'm like, I'm not going to shit on Bonnie Raitt, but it's, if you don't know, like 75-year-old white country woman
yeah.
singer. And sure enough, she wins Song of the Year. And you're like, you're joking me. Like, this is an what? Actual joke. This is a song that no one has
she
ever
won?
Listened to.
Holy shit.
I think, yeah.
It's not even a great song. Like, I listened to it but with hope, being like, you never know. Like, lost hit. No, awful.
I don't wow. know how you can take any of that seriously.
There's also oh, just, like, so much music.
But I also you think we, I mean? These all, artists...
Like, it would be impossible to have... a proper awards show.
But I also think we yeah. validate them by giving them the credit of like they should have nominated the right person. It's like we're bigger than the Grammys ever could be at mm-hmm. this point, and at this point we're actually just bringing our own individual audiences to this platform. And it's like I always say this about musicians going on late night TV like Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel or something. It's like you're literally just doing it for the Instagram post at this point. No one is finding out about you because they're watching Jimmy Fallon at 12:30 a.m. Like
maybe,
that does not exist anymore.
Like my aunt is you
exactly.
know?
And it's like is that person buying a ticket to the crypto arena to go watch your concert? Like absolutely not. So it's like at this point that there have to be new stages that are built that replace it because it's completely dilapidated at this point.
Yeah, we have this like weird relationship with all of these like old institutions like academia and like these media institutions, these legacy media institutions. Like NBC, ABC, and that kind of thing. And basically, like Taylor Lorenz always says, it's like, well, in 20 years or 30 years, like none of us are going to care about any of these things. Like when it comes to academia, like people are doing like Substacks that are like way more interesting than things that I'll read on like The Cut or like on Vice or a lot of these places. And then when it comes to like media, like I feel like TikTok and Instagram are more interesting than anything I see on TV.
No, and I think the funny thing is you find that there is still this real stigma of like, what is real Hollywood? And I, you know, even me and Kareem deal with this because it's like, we're making a show like Keep the Meter Running. And it's like, to me, this is a show. This is a real show. This is the kind of show that I entered the industry to want to go make. It's like yeah. a real story, telling it the way that we wanted to. This is Hollywood, in my opinion.
Yeah, totally.
Kareem had pitched the show for 5 years. No one had been interested in making it.
Can you say where you pitched it or anything like that?
Well, I had been thinking about the show for 5 years. Okay. I hadn't pitched it.
No, but you know, but to be
this
honest,
like trying to like
where
figure
would be,
out
like,
what
the
original properties
for it,
don't really get made anymore in Hollywood. Like at this point, it's a reboot, a remake, a sequel, you know, or something that they can kind of bring out of their library and like try a new twist on it. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because like my actually hope with TikTok is like, I really see it as Gen Z's television. I use it the way that I used to use television, which is like I'm on it 2 hours a day and I'm thoroughly entertained on this app. And to me, any show that I'm building now is strictly for these digital platforms because I'm like, yeah, this is an actual relationship with an audience where, first of all, we can spend a whole lot less money, a whole lot less time in development and get it out to tens of millions of people so that when we go to London, kids in London know about it within weeks. Versus spend all these years and all these millions of dollars for 500,000 people to watch it. Like Food Network, for context, I only know this number because I just looked this up today. Food Network's primetime audience right now is 560,000 people. That is nothing. Mm-hmm. It's
the
actually
only
really
time
funny.
I've ever watched Food Network is when I'm in the waiting room at my dermatologist. I'm not even kidding.
No, exactly. And I grew up watching Food Network. Yeah. And the other funny thing, late night TV, you know, kind of liberal Hollywood was making fun of Fox News having like a late night comedy show, which was Gutfield, which is like definitely not funny in my opinion, but their ratings are now more than twice as high as Jimmy Fallon for late night TV, which is still like, I think it's like 2 million versus 1 million, but even still you're like, this isn't relevance. This isn't culture. There's nothing that comes out of this as a water cooler conversation anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like it's a lot more egalitarian and just accessible for like normal people.
Who knew the Chinese would build the most democratic platform we've ever had?
Who knew? Yeah, and it's so dangerous.
Well, TV's just an autopilot. It's like that format. They were like, oh, this works.
Managed decline is.
And then there's like five dudes doing the same show.
Well, and I always said
it's kind of anti Nepo because now just random people can just like pick up their phones and like 100%. Become viral. Like,
and this is what I said is like music had this a lot earlier, which is like if 10 years ago or like let's say 8 years ago, I'm a musician and I'm making songs out of my bedroom, I can put a song on Spotify and it'll be next to Kendrick Lamar. It'll be the biggest, you know, there's no difference on that platform of my song versus theirs. Whereas in film, up until this point, there's been YouTube, which is like, yeah, you make YouTube videos, you're a vlogger or whatever. But then there's like, you're on Apple TV and you're watching Netflix or HBO or whatever. Like there's a huge difference between those two things. And for the first time now, all those major studios who promise you distribution are trying to release content on TikTok and they're losing to some 19-year-old in Westchester.
Right.
And that has never happened before in the entertainment industry. And I think no one wants to acknowledge it yet because it means a lot of jobs lost. But the truth of the matter is that is now where the power is. And if you can't offer distribution, the only thing you can offer is money. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot less safe position to be in.
I do think that there is still some kind of negotiation in terms of like social capital between like Hollywood or like these people that are willing to pay for ads or, you know, big brands that are willing to fund people. Because these are the people that are going to fund big influencers, right? They're going to give them the money for cameras and this type of thing. And, you know, and then there's the other element of like, who are the people, who are the families that are producing these influencers? Who is closer to being an influencer? Like, it's egalitarian to a certain extent, but still like poor people all around the world are not necessarily going to be creators at the same time, right?
No, but that's where I think the hopeful thing that we're seeing now is whereas 2 years ago, the biggest people on TikTok were true influencers who were moving to LA because they were hot and that was their shtick.
Yeah.
It's really pretty privilege that stays in place more than anything else.
Being famous on TikTok now is you're being famous for what you do for a living. So like our show that was even bigger than Keith the Muter Running was with this kid, Tyler McCorsky, and the guy who works for John Buckley, who are watch traders in 47th Street. Mm-hmm. There is no world in which 10 years ago, a watch trader in 47th
what
Street...
What is a watch trader, by
someone
the way?
Who like buys and sells Rolexes on the street on 47th Street in New York. And this was a show that like I say this to every like exec if I remember pitching to someone. It's like, I could post a photo with LeBron James tomorrow and I'd have one person be like, damn, that's sick. Anytime I post a photo with these guys or like I post an episode that we made of the show, I have probably 50 friends on Instagram who are like, there's no fucking way you know who these people are. Like, I literally go to sleep watching their videos every single night. And it's like, the only reason they're not considered, you know, the real power players yet is because there haven't up until this point been like producers in the room, storytellers in the room to help shape what they've been doing into real stories and the real content. And I think up until now, like Hollywood kept learning the wrong lessons, which is like, hey, let's just put Addison Rae in a movie.
Right.
And that means like young people are going to watch it. Like, no. no young person is going to watch your movie regardless of who you're going to put in it. They are spending time on this platform for 4 or 5 hours a day. And what we're doing now is like, how do you actually just find the people who are actually are really good at what they do? They yeah. are real talent and go build something with them.
Yeah, totally. And that's cool what you guys are doing, because it's like, you guys are doing stuff with like a minimal budget and also kind of like world building that, you know, the show can become something much bigger, and you have to have optimism in creating the show. And it's led you to these enormous amount of views. And I think it's just inspirational for everyone that's doing any kind of new media business. And also, if you're listening to this and you're an angel investor, obviously this is like a great investment opportunity. Along with our podcast, we recently just had 3 million reach on Instagram for one of our posts.
Clap icon.
So if you're an investor, obviously there's two great people in the room right now. Did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah. Invest in all of it.
I mean, what I say to everyone is like, I talk to a lot of people in entertainment who are like, oh, it's so depressing. Like, this is how people are consuming media now. And like, it's not what it used to be. And first of all, I'm like, I've heard this from an actor one time, and I was like, what are you in right now? And they're like, oh, like, I'm in this show that's based on a movie that's going to air on Peacock. And I'm like, okay, if that's the version of Hollywood that you want to fight for, be my guest. Right. That is not something I want to touch with a 10-foot pole. And I believe in what Hollywood can be. And it's not that. Thank you. but separately, it's just like, I being on the other side of it now, it's like I constantly hear from different managers, like, again, the this is so depressing thing. And it's like, look, regardless of whether you like it or not, this is how media is being consumed right now for hours on end every single day. Either you can sit there and be depressed about this, or you can go make the best possible thing that you can go make and replace what you think is garbage with like actually amazing stories. And totally. That should be something that we should all be striving for.
It's even funny because I see it now even. Like, I know a lot of people that are so apprehensive about TikTok, and they're entertainers. Like stand-up comedians and whatever, like people
really?
In my peer group
what?
Who are like, oh, dude, I don't get it, man. Like, do you really like TikTok? And I'm like, it's the fucking best app.
Yeah.
It's also, you've never had more reach in the world.
Right. No.
Media, I mean, Vanity Fair calling Kareem, like, this the best show on TikTok right now. You know, Insider going on the news. Like, it's...
Wait, do we have any more quotes? I'm curious. I didn't know that Vanity Fair said that.
Vanity Fair did
what
say that.
What other quotes do we have?
Say they called me the next Bourdain.
Hello.
But again, case in point being like a few $1,000, but a really great story got further reach than anything else in your entire career.
No, wait,
but,
say
but,
that again?
I was just saying like a few $1,000 and a really amazing story and Kareem being like the perfect person to
this
tell the story.
This is the last episode, right?
This is just in general.
In general, you're saying.
But the idea that like here's the other thing too that has changed is that to the Addison Rae point of like let's put Addison Rae in a movie and then like a bunch of people are going to come to the movie theater to watch it. Doesn't happen. Let's put XYZ influencer in this movie and other people are going to come to the movie theater and watch it. Doesn't happen. I think the difference is actually developing formats that are sustainable on their own on these platforms, right? Like when you make a podcast, you're doing it. There's a format and you're doing it for a platform.
Mm-hmm.
So coming to TikTok without like a game plan of some sort and being like, okay, this is the show, right? Like this is how the show works. We're going to treat it like a TV show. We're going to treat it like a movie. We're going to treat it however we're going to treat it, and actually following through with it, I think is something that people don't really comprehend yet for some reason.
They don't take it seriously enough though.
They're just like, no one's willing to be like, I'm good. Like I have an idea. I want to do it. I have this idea that it, for a TV show, literally, like I know so many people that are like, ooh, I have this idea for a TV show. I have this idea for a TV show. I'm always like, okay, cool. Just do it on TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
At least to see if it works, because then you'll probably have more power and you can bring it to TV.
The problem is everyone's scared of failure.
But this is also
I think everyone's kind of lazy.
It is laziness. I'll tell you that because that's literally where I'm at, because like I repost so much content.
TikTok.
I had like a viral TikTok like way before I even started New Liberal Hell. But like I'm video content, it's more effort, so therefore I'm like,
it's not easy.
It's
not easy, but if it's your job, if it's like, if you want to be an entertainer, if you want to be a filmmaker, if you want to be a TV guy, if you want to be a stand-up, if you want to be a comedian,
but isn't
it's easier than whatever sitting in like Adobe and like trying to release like
we're fucking sitting 3 years in development hell with some exec who doesn't know a goddamn thing about what they're talking about. And like what I tell everyone is like, look, you look at who's the biggest filmmaker of his generation right now, probably like Jordan Peele, right? Jordan Peele is known and is famous for who he is now because we grew up watching him on Key and Peele on Comedy Central. None of us here will probably ever watch Comedy Central again so long as we live. The next Key and Peele will come from a place like TikTok, and that will get you to care someone enough about them. So when it's time for them to go eventually make a movie, it's like, wow, this person has a movie now. I actually care about their vision, their voice. Like, I'm going to go to theaters and see it. And like, I will never tell someone that, like, look, Nathan Fielder, who went and made The Rehearsal worth $30 million in HBO, loved the show. I will never tell someone like, yeah, let's go spend $30 million on a TikTok show. But I can say, let's go make Nathan for You tomorrow. And 2 years from now, when that's the only show people are talking about, we can go to HBO and ask for $30 million to go make The Rehearsal.
But it's interesting because in a way what Mad Realities and Keep the Meter Running was doing is that you were actually approaching it like it was an HBO show, almost, not necessarily to that, like, with that type of budget, but you were approaching it like a real show. 100%. And I think that's what's interesting about what you're doing is you're treating new media for what it actually is, what the era we actually live in is, where TikTok and Instagram, these places, they are our new television. And if you treat it like that, you can get these big views, but people aren't willing to go there, is what Kareem is saying. And also they're scared of the format. It's like this new quick ADHD format. But if you do that, there's a lot of potential payoff, and this is where the money should be going, you know?
And there are definitely more ways to monetize than you think there are. You know, I think everyone's automatic assumption is like, you make it big, go on YouTube, AdSense will pay you. I think there's definitely a lot more room to grow in terms of like the monetization out there.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people are just, they're always afraid of the new thing. They're like, I don't know what the plan is. I don't know how to do this, blah, blah, blah. If you just go into it with a plan and treat it like it's the old thing, TV, it seems like it's pretty simple. But yeah, I've never thought about doing it that way. That's why you guys are successful. You thought about it before us.
It's sexy. And I think people are afraid because it's not sexy. They're like, I make a TikTok show. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, we're also definitely, you've seen an episode of our show. Because if I show it to you, everyone's like, oh, I've seen this. And it's like, I've worked on so many projects over the years in film and TV, commercials, music videos. It's the first time in my life that I can tell someone I'm working on. And almost every single young person is like, I know exactly what this is.
That's sick. Before we end this, I think, can we play the sound for the latest TikTok episode for Keep the Meter Running? How long is it?
Not that. You can play any of them.
We can edit that in.
Oh, okay.
For sure. I did want to talk. I wanted to talk quickly about the Nepo Baby song.
Oh, let's do it.
Oh, the Nepo.
Thank
oh,
you
so
that's
much.
A great tie-in. Wow,
I forgot about that. Well, actually,
you should tell the story about how you made it into the video.
Yeah,
I forgot about this entirely. I forgot you were.
Yeah, I woke up at like noon, hungover after some other New York party, and I see a message from Kareem being like, Are you free today? Like, an actress is sick and I need someone to come play, like, some rich girl.
Crying girl, specifically.
Oh.
A crying girl. I said
a rich crying girl. And I was like, I'm on it.
But that was like 9 a.m.
This is my time to shine.
That was like 9 a.m.
And I replied.
You replied at 2.
I replied at 2. Okay,
I was like,
yeah.
We're shooting at 3.
Yeah.
And you were like, cool, I'll be there.
Yeah.
I was like, holy fuck.
I'm like... snorting a line of Adderall. I'm like, I got it. I'm like sending my boyfriend around. I'm like, go get this for me and this for me and this for me. And I'm like gathering all my dresses. I'm like, okay, rich girl crying. I'm like, I got this. I got this. I got this. And I just like bring my whole wardrobe. And I feel like it was like perfect for me because like everyone accuses me of being a Nepo baby. I don't know. Yeah. Or like a PSYOP Nepo baby, like child of some extreme privilege that I'm not. But like, I like to LARP. I was like, I brought my own pearls and you already had pearls for me to wear. And so I cried on camera. And that was my first like acting experience ever.
You
actually.
Were so good.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember how I got to you. Like, as the person eventually. Like, yeah. But I was like, ooh, she'd be perfect.
Yeah.
And it was the day of the video. Yeah. So like
you're like, think. Like,
no, I was at that level. Well, we had never even spoken before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's like where I was on my list.
Yeah.
Like, to the point. I remember you hit me up and I was like, I have no idea.
I was like, hey, I need a, like, do you know any rich looking girls who could be good to cry on camera?
Wait,
and this
Anna
is
looks
the,
rich?
The morning of the, what's that?
Anna looks
People
rich.
People tell me I have Mayflower face, so.
Yeah, she looks like, she played the part well.
Yeah.
Of like, that what I imagined, the person that.
I'm from Massachusetts, okay? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But you have fun? You had a good time on this
It
set?
Was so much fun, yeah.
Good. That was
yeah,
really fun.
I got
Thank
to
for
like
doing
throw
it.
Food and cry. That's yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun.
It was so much fun.
And you got canceled after the song came out, so it was really a full 360.
You got canceled?
Who got canceled? The episode. No, you did the whole apology on Instagram.
Oh yeah. I was like, wait,
what was the
really?
Apology? I don't
oh,
know.
I
the
just
story.
Did, I did like a I really I released a song which is called Really Rude Parents. Yeah, I did a No Tap apology that was cosplaying for a real apology, and it was just like, I'm so sorry for offending all these rich people. I didn't mean to like hurt your guys' feelings. I know that you weren't. That it's not a choice. You were born into the wealth.
Big
which is,
Rich
which
was
is
canceling
true.
Kareem.
Which is true, though. They didn't choose to be born into wealth.
I mean, they can choose not to take their parents' wealth.
That's a tough choice.
Yeah. I mean,
no one's doing that.
Do you want to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, or do you want to be a victim of nepo babyism, you know?
If I had a teat to suck on,
I would get the tattoo on my body if I was a nepo baby. I'd be like,
I
please,
like
I'm gonna own this through and through.
I would say, people would be like, oh, like, cool, how do you do all this stuff? I'd say my parents are rich, and they'd be like, awesome.
No, yeah,
and then it would be over. No, and that would be great.
I was actually dating this rich girl in New York, and she was like, you're just jealous of me. I was like, oh no, like, I think it's great actually, because that wealth slowly trickles to me too.
That's trickle down economics. Yeah,
exactly.
I was like, no. Why would I be fucking jealous of you being able to like get all this money constantly?
I'm going on the vacation.
I haven't
with
paid
you.
For one Uber since we've been hanging out.
No, it's great, but yeah, I don't know. It's a fun song.
It's
I like
a fun
it.
Song. I get it stuck in my head all the time.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Are you gonna do more music?
Yeah,
yeah.
I've got some other shows.
Keep the meter running. The musical.
for the
you gotta separate. You gotta separate the TikTok artist.
Yeah.
From the musical
sorry,
artist.
Sorry, sorry.
From the comedian artist.
From the Lydia Tarr.
You're a true Renaissance.
But
man,
you're also a stand-up too, right?
Yeah, I'm all of the things in the thing.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome. Before we go, Adam and Kareem, what advice would you give to people that are maybe future producers or? Future artists or whatever you consider
future
yourselves
content creators
whatever you consider like what advice would you give to people that are listening to this that are listening because they want to you know get into the industry in some way what is like a simple like two-step process that you'd give to them or two things that they should do
I think one find people who you love working with and work with them all the time on every project and two like yeah just have fun. Don't be afraid to fail.
Build a circle of trust.
Keep trying the things.
Hell yeah.
Nice. Adam, what about you?
I would just say, like, it's next generation of producers. Like, you need to know how to hold a camera, how to edit. The only reason that we were able to shoot our shows for as cheap as we were is that every single person that was working on it, me and two other people, we were all holding the cameras. We were editing every episode. We knew when we were shooting it what we needed in the edit. And that is what allowed it to keep going. I don't think we're going to have like as big of crews in the next generation of television as we have had so far.
Right.
And just go do it. Like people want to say crypto is early. Like it's fucking early in terms of TikTok. And it's like public access television right now. And there's a whole era of shows that have not been made yet. So
what you're saying is it's like in software and like just development in general, there's this idea of being full stack. So being a full stack producer, being able to
1,000%
produce behind the scenes,
there's no room
create
for
the
just
content
anymore.
Edit and run the camera. Like you have to be a full stack producer.
That,
beautiful. Well, thank you so much for
thank
coming
you
on.
Thank you for having us.
Beautiful.